this message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. During our Ash Wednesday service a few weeks ago, we learned that Jonah is like a person who uses caller ID to avoid speaking with a person that he wants to ignore. In fact, you could say that if Jonah had a message on his answering machine, it would probably go something like this. It would go, "Hello, this is Jonah. If this is God, I want you to know that I'm unable to take your call right now. So please do not leave your name or your number or your message, because I won't be getting back to you, God, since I already know what you have to say and I don't care for it one little bit." But in spite of this rude message, God keeps calling Jonah. He never gives up on Jonah, and God never gives up on us either. He is, after all, the God of the second chance. What proof do I have? Well, once again, consider Jonah. God's call came to Jonah the first time, and as you know, Jonah totally ignored God. But God didn't give up. God's second call came to Jonah after he had been expelled from the belly of the great big fish. In fact, you could say that Jonah's second call is the result of his baptism, so to speak. You see, after being plunged into the sea, after staring death in the face, after experiencing what he called the waters closing in over me, the deep surrounding me, weeds wrapping around my head at the roots of the mountains, going down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. After that terrible, horrifying event, Jonah declares that he experienced the salvation of God. Jonah writes, "Yet you brought me up from the pit, O Lord my God. Deliverance belongs to the Lord." So you could say that this was Jonah's baptism. In fact, all of God's baptized children have been plunged into the waters, so to speak. We agree with Holy Scripture, which teaches that in baptism, our sinful nature is drowned and then a new person is raised up by the Holy Spirit. A new person who trusts God. A new person who heeds his call. So from the waters of baptism, we arise forgiven and alive. Newborn children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, temples of the Holy Spirit. Jonah received his second call because of his baptism. Only after being plunged into the drowning waters, and only after being revived by his saving God, only then was Jonah able to respond to God's second call. You see, it is in baptism where our God of second chances comes to us every day, so that every day we might repent, every day we might rejoice in his mercy, and every day we might follow his call on our lives. On New Year's Day in 1929, Georgia Tech played the University of California in the Rose Bowl. This was a famous football game, and I'll tell you why. You see, during the first half of the game, a player by the name of Roy Regals recovered a fumble for California on his own 35-yard line. But invading some of the Georgia Tech tacklers, Regals became confused, and he started running 65 yards in the wrong direction. One of his teammates, Benny Lum, outran him and tackled him on the one-yard line just before Regals was going to score a goal for the opposing team. Well, as you know, a coach usually has a great deal to say to his team during halftime. Well, that afternoon, Coach Price was very quiet during halftime. No doubt he was trying to decide what to do with Regals. Well, the timekeeper came in during the silence and announced that there were 3 minutes before the game resumed. Coach Price took a deep breath. He looked at the team and he said, "Men, I've thought long and hard about this, and I've decided. The same team that started the first half is going to start the second half." At that, the players got up and started out, everyone that is, but Regals. He didn't budge. He just sat there, staring at the ground. The coach called again, "Regals, get out there, didn't you hear me?" But he still sat there, his head looking at the ground. The coach comes up and says, "Regals, again, didn't you hear me? The same team that started the first half is going to start the second." At that, Roy lifted up his face and there were tears streaming down his cheeks. The coach then put his hand on Regal's shoulder and said, "Roy, get up and go back in the game, because the game is only half over." Roy did go back in, and according to the testimonies of the other players, they had seldom seen a man play as hard as Roy Regals did in that second half. He had been given a second chance. My friends, God refused to throw away the prophet Jonah, even though he had messed up big time. In the same way, God refused to throw away the horrible, evil people of Nineveh, even though they had messed up big time. You see, God wanted to give Jonah and Nineveh a second chance, a chance to repent, a chance to be forgiven. The second chance that God had given Jonah is the same second chance that God wanted to give Nineveh. And you know what? It's the same second chance that God gives us over and over and over and over again. What a wondrous thing it is to learn that you're not trash to God. What good news it is to hear that God isn't going to throw you aside just because you mess up big time. God loves you too much to do that to you. And he longs to give you a second chance again and again and again. And the proof of how much God loves you is that all those second chances that he wants to give you and me, those second chances come at the cost of his own son being rejected and abandoned and cast aside on the cross in the place that we should have been. My friends, when Jonah was empowered by that second chance, he went to Nineveh as God wanted him to do in the first place. This unfaithful prophet, now reborn in baptism, proclaims God's word to the people of Nineveh. And as you know, the story ends very well for Nineveh. Because through Jonah's preaching, the Holy Spirit convicts them of sin. And all of them in the city cry out to God for mercy. And what happens? God forgives them for Christ's sake. God gives that horrible, wicked city a second chance. Now, I bet you think that Jonah was rejoicing when he saw God give the Ninevites a second chance. Unfortunately, it didn't turn out that way for Jonah at all. In fact, the whole point of the book of Jonah is for us to learn from Jonah's bad example. We need to learn from Jonah's bad example what happens when we do not continue in the grace of our baptism. You see, baptism is not a one-time thing in our life. It is meant to be an ongoing reality, daily repentance and faith, because we realize God gave us a second chance, and he gives us a second chance over and over again in Jesus. That wonderful gospel behooves us to live every day in repentance and faith and to rejoice when God gives the same second chance to others. But my friends, there is a danger. You see, even though we've been baptized, like Jonah. God knows that the devil will tempt us to forsake our baptism, to take God's grace for granted, and to turn away. Unfortunately, that's what happened to Jonah. You see, if you read chapter 4 of the book of Jonah, you will find out that Jonah returns to his sinful ways, but this time he refuses to repent. And you see, that's where the danger comes in. Our God of second chances wants to give us mercy over and over again, but if we refuse to repent, God can't give us that mercy. Hell will be filled with people who have turned their backs on the God of second chances because they would rather cling to their own sin and their own ways than acknowledge their guilt and be received back into God's mercy. We learn from the book of Jonah that Jonah ends up being very, very angry at God. Why? Because, as you know, Jonah did not want God to give Nineveh a second chance. Jonah forgets that he deserved the judgment that Nineveh should have received. Jonah forgets that he too had been given a second chance. And as a result of ignoring God's grace, he ends up griping and complaining because he wanted God to destroy his enemies, the people of Nineveh. You know, we could easily become like Jonah if we're not careful. Think about it. We all are tempted to hold grudges. We're all tempted to hate others. We're all tempted to refuse to forgive. All the time forgetting that God has graciously given us numerous second chances. Luther once said, "Even though our sinful nature is drowned in baptism, we must remember that our sinful nature is a good swimmer." You see, our sinful nature is constantly trying to rise up, constantly trying to take over, constantly trying to lead us away from our God of second chances. So then, my friends, what should we do when we see our sinful nature rising up in our lives? What should we do? Well, we don't do what Jonah did. We don't embrace the desires of our sinful nature. We don't excuse them. We don't condone them. Instead, when our sinful nature rises up in our lives, there is only one thing to do. Repent. When we see that sin rising up in our lives, we need to humble ourselves before God and remember that we deserve nothing but His wrath. And then we must rejoice in the God who gives unending second chances to those who repent, all because of Jesus, who suffered the damnation that should have been ours. My friends, the Lenten season is about learning to live humbly before God. The Lenten season is about remembering what it cost God to give us a second chance. And so during Lent, we acknowledge our sins, we repent of them, and we look to the cross. We look to the cross because that is the source of joy in our life. That is the source of power to live out our baptism. And as we keep our focus on the cross and remember that we were saved by pure grace, we will find it within ourselves to rejoice when other sinners are also given a second chance. Rather than bearing hatred in our hearts, we will find love. Rather than holding a grudge, by God's grace, we will find the ability to begin to forgive. In fact, our baptism is God's daily promise to us that we can begin every day with another second chance because of Jesus. Because of our baptism, each day we are invited to refresh and renew ourselves. In our baptism, we meet Christ, who joined himself to us there. Jesus took our sins from the waters of holy baptism and dealt with them on the cross. As his baptized children, we have been raised up in him, and we get to live every day knowing that we serve the God of second chances. My friends, Jonah was given a second chance because of Jesus. And what you need to know is that God would have given Jonah another second chance, and another, and another, and another. Even after Jonah complained to God because he gave Nineveh a break, if Jonah would only have realized, oh, how horrible of me. How could I possibly wish damnation on the Ninevites when God had mercy on me? God, have mercy on me, a sinner. If only Jonah would have done that, he would have been given yet another second chance. But Jonah did not do that. He hardened his heart. He trusted in his hate more than he did in the God who longs to save sinners. And so we learn from the book of Jonah not to be drowned by hatred and sin and self-centeredness. We learn from the book of Jonah to humble ourselves before God and to cry out to him for mercy, knowing that he will answer us graciously because he is the God of second chances. All because of Jesus, who suffered the damnation we deserve, that we might have unending second chances. And my friends, this is the good news we get to bring out into the world. There are people out there, people right here in Jamestown, who think that maybe they've sinned just one too many times. There are people out there who don't think that God could ever give them a second chance. We can let them know that our God is the God of second chances. They can come to him with their sin, knowing that he will receive them for Christ's sake and give them a new life. What a wonderful God we have. We serve the God of the second chance. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.